Good morning, everybody, and welcome. And a special welcome to anybody who's with us for the first time today, and a particular welcome to Jason Lee, who's managed to take some time off. Look at that haircut. This takes some time off from being with the army to be with us today, so thank you. Pastoral and personal news. John Tadman has been taken into the Wolfson Centre in Wimbledon. Dot Dixon is still in Kingston Hospital. Eddie Kerr is still in hospital as well after his operation. Rebecca Seymour was scheduled to have a heart operation last Thursday, but it was cancelled. And she was admitted to A&E yesterday evening, but I don't have any more news at the moment. So we need to carry those people in our prayers. During the coming week, there will be no Wednesday forum in August. That's this coming, or this coming Wednesday, the 3rd. There's a notice in the Mayo Hall if anyone can provide accommodation for visiting students. This is in connection with the university. The notice will explain it all, or you can see Natasha Reed after the service. Next Sunday, there will be an open gardens event at the Robinsons in North Kingston. That's Sunday the 8th of August. And finally, a reminder about the 14th of August, when there's this practice cycle race for the Olympics. There's a lot of information on the board in the Mayo Hall, and many people may have seen this already, but the main point is that you cannot cross the race route, which runs north and east of this church, except by bike or on foot, and then only at particular points in the route. So there may be particular problems if you're coming from North Kingston. There will be limited vehicle access to the town centre. Buses will be affected. Most car parks will be open, including, we're told, Eden Walk and Brook Street. But the cattle market is closed, but the Bittams, which is normally closed, will be open. And it says here that all returns to normal, whatever that is, at 3 o'clock. Let's keep silence and prepare for worship.
Let us sing praises to God, for he has come into our life like a shaft of sunlight, calling us out of the shadows where we were hiding, summoning us to praise and to service as a rejoicing, loving community. Hymn number 119, and sing to the Lord with joyful voice, 119.
Thank you.
So now let us have a time of prayer. Lord of all, in reverence and humility, awe and wonder, we come to worship you. Meet with us now. Be with us always. We step aside from the busy routine of our lives, a few moments away from our daily activities and humdrum concerns, an opportunity to bring them quietly and prayerfully before you and to place them into your hands. We bring ourselves, our strengths and weaknesses, our faith and doubts, our hopes and fears. We bring our families, our friends and neighbours, those we love, those we know, and those we simply pass in the street. Meet with us now. Be with us always. We bring our community, our town, our country, and our world, your world, places near and far, integral to our lives or far removed from our experience. In quiet confidence, we entrust all into your care, knowing that your love is more powerful and your power more loving than we can ever know or imagine. We come to worship you, bringing ourselves, bringing our loved ones, bringing our all. Meet with us now. Be with us always. Merciful God, we know we have failed you in so much, in the things we have done and the things we have not done. Our faith weak, discipleship hesitant, commitment poor, and yet still you accept us. For your unfailing pardon, receive our thanks. We have not worshipped you as we should, or served you as you desire. We have not loved you with heart and soul and mind. There may be times when we do, but those many times when we forget. We do not always love our neighbour as ourselves. And yet, still you love us. For your unfailing pardon, receive our thanks. Merciful God, forgive us. Cleanse us, restore and renew us, assure us once more of your forgiveness, for we are truly sorry, and send us out in newness of life to live and work to your glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And shall we continue with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Right, now I need one volunteer. Ray Charlton, would you like to? I think you're a good cook. One glass bowl. Some eggs. Oops. Would you like to choose an egg, sir?
That one.
You can have that one. I'll choose an egg. Now I'd like to you to just crack that egg into the bowl to show that it is a real genuine egg. Thank you. Now, that, yeah, you can go and sit down if you like. Yeah. Actually, I might need you in a moment. That is one way of cracking an egg. But there are, of course, other ways you can crack eggs. You may sit down now. It's just a silly little thing to say that sometimes things aren't always as they seem. And an egg, a good egg, is good on the inside, even though it may just look on the same on the outside as a bad egg, or a not an egg in this case. And people are the same, of course. Some people can be very smiley and friendly. I'll give you an example. There's an army captain, and he was transferred to a new unit, and he had a nickname after you, Henry. And he had that. He was well liked by the men because he used to open doors for them and say, "After you." And he used to go to the Naffy occasionally, which is the sort of lower ranks canteen, cafe, bar, and he'd buy a round of drinks. And he was well liked by his men. Brilliant. And then, of course, he got sent to Afghanistan. And they were infantry. So they're in the front line, and they had to attack this compound to get rid of the Taliban who were there. And he was saying, "Sergeant, you take your men up there. Corporal, you take your men up there. After you." And that's what he was, after you. They did all the hard work. When the compound was captured, he walked in and assumed command. So he was, when the chips were down, putting himself first. In fact, by currying favour with the men, he was probably putting himself first. He was buying their friendship. He was being apparently very nice. But of course, when the chips were down, it was all self. And we're going to be looking at today at the idea of actually putting other people first. So let us sing again. 413. What a friend we have in Jesus. 413.
Thank you.
And now some verses from Isaiah, which Ray Erskine is going to read to us.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 55, reading from verse 1. The Lord says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come, you that have no money, buy corn and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, it will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me, and you will have life. I will make a lasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised to David. I made him a leader and commander of nations, and through him I showed them my power. Now you will summon foreign nations. At one time they did not know you, but now they will come running to join you. I, the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, will make all this happen, and I will give you honor and glory."
Thank you, Ray. Our second reading from Matthew is going to be given to us by Robin Hoare. John the Baptist has been beheaded, and we now have the story, the well-known story of the feeding of the 5,000.
This reading is from Matthew 14, starting at verse 13. When Jesus heard the news about John, he left there in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. The people heard about it, so they left their towns and followed him by land. Jesus got out of the boat, and when he saw the large crowd, his heart was filled with pity for them, and he healed those who were ill. That evening, his disciples came to him and said, "It's already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to the villages to buy food for themselves." "They don't have to leave," answered Jesus. "You yourselves give them something to eat. All we have here are 5 loaves and 2 fish, they replied. "Then bring them here to me," Jesus said. He ordered the people to sit down on the grass. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks to God. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Everyone ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left over. The number of men who ate was about 5,000, and not counting the women and children. Amen.
Let us sing again, hymn number 92, Amazing Grace, 92.
Thank you.
the well-known story of the five loaves and two fishes. But we're inclined to forget the opening line. When Jesus heard the news about John, he left there in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. You will remember that John the Baptist was beheaded at the request of King Herod by his daughter at Herod's birthday celebration. Jesus had suffered the loss of his friend and relative, John. Jesus' mother Mary was the niece of John's mother Elizabeth. Grief can be expressed in many different ways. In some countries, other cultures, it is customary for there to be a great wailing by the women when someone dies. In parts of Africa, ululating is the norm. Each of us has our own way of dealing with the loss of someone close. Some people weep and mourn. Some talk to the lost person and even in the weeks following see them. Some keep their happy memories but move on somewhat more speedily. Some preserve the deceased's bedroom as a sort of shrine. Sometimes we can get locked unhealthily into our grief without fully emerging the other side, so we need help. Jesus hears of the tragic death of his distant relative, and not a nice death, beheaded after being a prisoner for a long while. And Jesus withdraws by boat privately to a solitary place. Jesus was human, like all of us. No doubt he needed some time of peace and quiet to grieve and begin to come to terms with his loss. He didn't have long to mourn, because the crowd had followed him around the lake on foot, and it would seem some had already arrived when he landed. The account talks of 5,000 men, with the women and children. The crowd may well have been nearer 10,000. The feeding of the 10,000 would be a more accurate title. An astonishing number, seeing as the population of the nearby town of Bethsaida was only 2,000 to 3,000. Today's reading says that Jesus got out of the boat, and when he saw the large crowd, his heart was filled with pity for them, and he healed those who were ill. Jesus was grieving. He had his needs. But he also saw that many in the crowd had their needs, and that they had followed him around the lake in faith. Unaware of his grief, they were expecting something from him, either words of wisdom or healing. Jesus didn't let them down. Jesus puts his own feelings aside as he ministers to the crowds. In fact, he feels pity. He heals many people and talks to the crowds. Time passes, and the disciples eventually come to him saying, "It's already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to the villages to buy food for themselves." But Jesus doesn't take the excuse to finish for the day. "They don't have to leave," he answers. He then goes on to produce the miracle of feeding the 5,000 or nearer 10,000 people, in spite of grieving and the original wishing to find a lonely place. A prime example, you could say, of Jesus putting the needs of the people before his own personal needs. There is that message there about putting other people first, and loving your neighbour involves doing just that. Not in the way that army captain did, by being pleasant and friendly to people, but when the chips were down, putting his own needs first. In 1893, a Dr. Eleanor Chestnut, nice name, arrived in China under the American Presbyterian Missions Board. Wow. She must have been well off, but felt called by God because she built a hospital using her own money to buy bricks and mortar. The need for her services as a surgeon was so great that she performed operations in her bathroom until the building was complete. One operation involved the amputation of a common labourer's leg, a coolie. Complications arose and skin grafts were needed. A few days later, another doctor asked Dr. Chestnut why she was limping. "Oh, it's nothing," she replied. Finally, a nurse revealed that the skin graft for the patient, a coolie, came from Dr. Chestnut's own leg, taken with only local anaesthetic. It must still have been painful having the skin removed. The doctor cared sufficiently for her patient, even though a lowly coolie, to give her own skin. As a timid teenager, I became a member of the local Methodist church in Whetstone, North London. Several times during the process, as well as attending the separate earlier junior church, I ventured to attend the later adult morning service on my own. The youth leader, Mr. Willis, a man I guess in his 50s, would notice me and come and sit next to me. Otherwise, I would have been all alone. I don't remember any other adult taking any notice of me. The fact that he came and sat with me showed me a lot about him, that he respected me and, if you like, was showing love. Not by a lot of talk, but by just being there. Of all the congregation, he was the only one today, plus a couple of other youth leaders, whom I can still remember. He showed caring. I felt as if God, in the person of Mr. Willis, was with me. And so he was. Excuse me. God is always there quietly for us. And if we are to follow Jesus, then we are to be the person there for others. Mr. Willis was there for me. We can all aspire to be there for others. Perfection is an aim, but if you feel love and compassion for people in your heart, then you will be open to recognizing their need. We are to put other people first and be caring. And how much more so should we, as followers of Jesus, than those who are unbelievers? Self-sacrifice isn't the prerogative only of Christians. Desmond Tutu once pointed out that there are aid workers in Darfur, Sudan, who are there at great risk and are not necessarily religious. Sometimes they go back there a second or third time. Why? Desmond suggests that it is because we are created for goodness, that God has implanted that potential within us. And there are a lot of seemingly non-believers in God who put other people's needs first before their own. Carers who look after loved ones. Parents of severely disabled children. There was that man in the news not long ago who cares for his autistic son and knows him better than anyone else. And you'll remember that social services wouldn't allow the son back after the father came out of hospital until it needed a court to rule otherwise. So just think of the sacrifices that man makes out of love and caring. Of course, we must acknowledge there are times when there can be a situation when the carer, themselves has to acknowledge that the difficulties have reached a stage where they cannot cope at home, even with help, and some form of residential care may be necessary. But the carer will visit often and show their continued love for that person. As believers, putting ourselves out for others is putting God first in our lives. Putting ourselves out for others is an attitude of mind that we can develop. Some circumstances are a matter of feeling compassion and may come easily. Others may mean putting a hold on our pride, fighting off some feeling of superiority or status we may feel, or setting aside some leisure activity we might have been planning, delaying getting to a meeting or whatever, to stop and talk with that slightly odd or vulnerable person that people sometimes avoid. A visit to someone in hospital may take precedence over a shopping trip or coffee with a friend. There are many small ways in which our self-interest will conflict with that of following Jesus. We are not all called to give full-time care to someone or to donate a skin graft like that dedicated doctor in China. But we are all asked to put ourselves out for strangers. When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you? The reply, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Jesus cared for people. He put aside his own grief and need for a quiet space to minister to the crowds that believed in him and followed him. Even in his grief, he healed people, putting others first. He refused the disciples' request to send the crowds away and then produced the miracle of the loaves and fishes. What a role model. May we aspire to be the same. Amen. So let us sing hymn number 364 and pay attention to the words as we sing. And now for our prayers of intercession. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you provide food for our daily needs, and you give food, resources, and talents for us to share with others and give you glory. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask your blessing upon all who hunger and thirst for righteousness and the coming of your kingdom. We remember all who feel their lives are parched and dry and who suffer from spiritual hunger. May the good news be brought to all. We bring before you all who go out in mission and all who seek to proclaim your love, and those who are persecuted for daring to follow Jesus in countries where it's not accepted, where they face maybe even death. How strong a faith do they have? We ask your blessing upon all who lack the necessary resources for well-being, for those who are suffering from hunger and poverty. The situation in Ethiopia, Kenya at the moment. We pray for the work of doctors, nurses, aid workers, everyone bringing aid to those countries. We pray for the work of Christian Aid and all who seek to bring relief to the hungry and the poor. We give thanks for our loved ones and all who have cared and provided for us. And we think and pray for Rebecca Seymour and her family. And in half a minute's silence, we, if we wish, take the opportunity to bring to you, Lord, those known to us personally who are in need of your healing and comfort. We remember all who feel weary with life, drained of energy, and no longer able to cope. We pray for all who struggle against great odds. And we ask your blessing upon all who feel alone and that no one cares for them. And we ask that this church, our mission here in Kingston, will remain open to the community as a support, a refuge for those in need. We give thanks that you give life and life eternal, that you are renewing and restoring God. And so we rejoice in the resurrection and ask your blessing upon our loved ones departed, that they know the peace and glory of your kingdom. Merciful Father, We offer these prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now shall we take our offering? Lord God, we are happy to bring our gifts of monies to you today. You gave of yourself to feed 5,000, possibly 10,000 people. We thank you that you are still feeding us today. And we give ourselves in your service. Amen. And now we come to our final hymn, number 663. God who enriches our lives. You are the truth, and we shall take into ourselves that truth. You offer the life which we shall enjoy forever. So let us go out and show your love in our communities, enriching the lives of others. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.